Thank you so much. We're going to turn to two texts tonight, if you'll get your Bibles ready. I'd like you to turn, first of all, to First Peter. We're going to begin there. But then if you'll also turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and put a marker there, I'd appreciate it so very much. Ephesians 5, but we're going to begin in First Peter chapter 3. First Peter 3. Isn't it amazing, God's Word? He shows us how we can move His heart. I want to move the heart of God. How to move the heart of God? We have seen. We moved the heart of God with tears. Remember, I've been reviewing this every week, Mary and Martha crying for their brother. And Jesus wept. They moved His heart. Their tears. In our psalm book, there's a song that says, "Tears are a language God understands." As a husband, I can't, my wife rarely cries. Why would she cry being married to me? But when she weeps, it breaks my heart. I'll do anything. What do you want me to do? Okay, I'll do the dishes for three nights in a row, whatever. But tears, the tears of a child always break my heart. Our little girl, Addison, a little granddaughter, she's three, the baby, and she has skinned knees and skinned elbows this week. And it just broke my heart to see her. I said, "How'd you do that?" And she said, "Perfect tracks." I said, "Excuse me, perfect tracks?" And she was out with her parents knocking on doors on Saturday, and she hit the sidewalk going fast and took a tumble. Well, I tell you what, tears move the heart of anybody. And then we saw that fasting moves the heart of God. This kind cometh about by prayer and fasting. And then we saw righteousness moves the heart of God. 2 Chronicles 6, the Bible says that His eyes are over the righteous. He's going to and fro, and He's seeking where God might pour down His blessings upon His people. And then we saw that faith moves the heart of God, because without faith it's impossible to please Him. And He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And then number five, we saw that the Bible, when we obey the Bible, it moves the heart of God. We saw last week, souls, when we're burdened about the souls of mankind, it moves God's heart. I want to give you what we're speaking on in just a minute, but let me read some scripture with you. One scripture in 1 Peter 3. I'd like you to read verse number 7. It is speaking about a husband and wife relationship. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection. It speaks about her adorning the hidden man of her heart. And it says, verse 7, likewise, ye husbands. Let's read that verse together. Ready? Begin. Likewise, ye husbands, dwelt. Is it possible that my actions to my wife could hinder my prayers? Is that possible? He just said it. He is right here. That your prayers be not hindered. I have to have a right relationship with my wife, because there's so many people, I think, in my family and my church and this world that depend upon me and my prayers, and the same for you. The Bible says this, husbands, dwell, reside, anchor in with them according to knowledge. That root word is know, which is a science. We study, we understand what she likes, what she doesn't like, what she needs. We understand our mate. God says, I want you to dwell, I want you to reside, I want you to anchor into your home. Don't be part in your home, be anchored in your home. Anchored in your home. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Making a science out of this thing. Studying it. The needs of your wife. And as carefully as I can say it, and as chaste as possible. And ladies, I would never attack and make fun, but a woman will tell you her needs change constantly. Her biological clock is changing constantly. constantly. And I don't say that out of being rude, please. And a man needs to be aware of that. This is not a good time. This is a good time to speak to her about this. Man, we have to dwell with our wife according to knowledge. Too many men have become effeminate. Our wife gets out of sorts or whatever, she has the right. But if our wife gets this or that, then we get moody and we get pouty and we, come on, men, grow up. You're governing your life off of the biological clock, which affects the emotional clock of a wife. Sure it would. I'm not saying she's not spiritual. And then there's later in life where there's changes in life with family and with her health and her needs. There's those things that happen. You better figure this out, fellas, that you said, I love this lady for better, for worse. And she puts up a lot more with us than we put up with them. I'll tell you that right now. That was a weak amen. Thank you, one lady, I'm sure. And then God says, giving honor to the wife. Honor is great respect. You and I, men, are you listening to me? We just came through Mother's Day. Are you showing great respect? Do your kids sort of ridicule mom and make fun of mom because we demean mother? Oh, so great honor. Great honor to your wife. Great respect. Stand in her presence. Hold the door. Tell her how great she is, how wonderful. Help her with things. She comes home and she's bringing the groceries. And if you're there, get off the couch and go get the groceries. I said, I've got this. Every time. Take care of that lady. Honor that lady as the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life. Why? Read it together. That your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not. If I'm not honoring my wife, if I don't consider her the weaker vessel, not the lousy person, that's not talking to that at all. And if I don't consider her with knowledge, her needs, and if I don't dwell and reside with her, God says, don't expect your prayers to be answered. You're not moving my heart with prayer. That's what prayer is all about, moving the heart of God. And if we treat, I spoke on treatment of women Sunday night, if we treat women with great respect, disrespect and disdain and ridicule and pride and selfishness, God says, don't expect your prayers to be answered. How do you treat your mother? How do you treat your mother? We saw it Sunday night. How do you treat your mother? How do you treat your sisters? The ladies in the church that are aged as mothers, the younger women as sisters, the widows were the third group, their parents, your mother, and the husband, the father and mother. How do you treat people that are your elders? Honors always be a respect. Go back with me, keep your marker there, but I want to remind you as we go to Ephesians 5, you will not have prayers answered. You will not have prayers answered if you disregard your wife. Now here's a important text, and in a few moments I'll pull it together. I'll just have you confused for a few moments. I want you to see with me Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, and this is so important, get this foundation here, please. Ephesians 5 shows a husband and a wife relationship. But God says that relationship will be mirrored in how you treat his institution called the church. How you treat the church is a reflection how you treat your mate. Tonight you're here and you're not sitting next to a mate. Your mate has passed away or your mate has left you or something. I always know who the innocent party was as I watch what their relationship becomes to the New Testament church when a mate leaves. That's Bible. We'll see God's comparing marriage. It's a mystery. He's comparing marriage and the church. And then I'm going to pull them together. I want you to see. Would you read, ladies, verse 22. Men, verse 23. Ladies, 24, and so on. Responsibility. Ladies, you begin in verse 22. Please, ready, begin. Come on, fellas. Ladies, do it great. Let's do it right. Ready? I'll help you, boys. Here we go. Ready? For the husband is the head of the wife. I want you to notice the word church as we build a foundation and then we'll pull it together. Did you notice it in verse 23? The husband is the head. Head doesn't mean the brains. It means the one who sets a direction. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So he's showing a relationship, the man and the church, as Christ is the head. Verse 24, therefore, if you'll circle it or underline it, as the church is subject unto the husband, under Christ, so that the wives be their own husbands in everything. The church again. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Verse 29, the Bible says, so no man yet ever hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth even as the Lord the church. And here's our verse. Now, this is a great, verse 32, this is a great mystery. What this mystery of the church, the mystery of marriage and how they can reflect one another, it is a mirror. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Tonight, when someone gets mad at the New Testament local church, I know they have marriage problems. I was so afraid to become a pastor because I thought, how? I don't know how to counsel people. And I can remember those first many years, I'd go to the door at the old little A-frame building and shake hands with people. And as I get toward the end of the line, I'd go hide because I knew they were going to ask me a Bible question. I knew they were going to ask me something. I had no idea how to answer it. I knew God's people would find out I wasn't smart. And I would not know how to counsel them. And I was just a kid of 24, and I thought, they'll find out. I guess they probably found out if they listened to me preach. Yeah, Julie, if I put, Mrs. Spencer, if I put Nicodemus in the tree, was it Nicodemus I put in the tree? That's right. If I put him in a tree, the whole message, they must have figured that out. Thank you for staying in spite of Nicodemus. That Sunday night, the girls sang, Nicodemus was a wee little man. Oh, brother. But I soon discovered people's lives tell a story. Just watch people. You'll know what's going on. I just watch people. I watch very carefully. You may not know it when I preach. And sometimes when I'll get on a subject, you'll give it away if I'm speaking on a subject that's bothering you. And I know how. I can watch it. I can see it. You always give it away. What is it? I'm not going to tell you. You know, we can tell when we could all tell when a husband, a wife, just a little bit argumentative. They're frigid in church. They just sort of don't sit very close to one another. You can just sort of tell what's going on. When I watch people get angry in church, they're angry people. It may not be she's angry, but if he's an angry man, he's just angry. He's angry not at the pastor, not at the church. There's something in life that makes him angry. Normally his own failure. And you'll take it out on someone that you think you can control. A man will take it out on a child or take it out on a wife that he says, I can control her. I'm in charge. A mother, if she feels like she's in charge, or the wife, she'll take it out on her husband. God says this is a great mystery. He tells the ladies there in verse, your job is to submit, ladies. That's to rank under. It's a military term. Verse 22, wives, submit. Verse number 24, as the church is subject to Christ, so the wives be unto their own husbands and everything, be in submission. Verse 33, the Bible says, so let the wife, even in the love of the wife, even herself, let the wife see that she reverence her husband. When a woman doesn't have a reverence for her husband, it's reflected she doesn't have a reverence for the things of God. And again, I go back to the people in this church that perhaps may have left. Doesn't mean she cannot have reverence for the things of God if her husband has left her. It means that as I watch, she's overcome the sorrow and the heartache and the grief of the husband's actions because she's still true to God. She's in submission to God. And consequently, it shows up in a relationship to the church. When people are bitter at the church, they're always bitter at themselves. Look at the husband, your job. Verse 25, mine as well. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives. When a husband doesn't love his wife, he shall not love my church. Because they mirror one another. They reflect one another. My marriage with my wife will reflect what I think of my wife through the New Testament local church. I'm getting it across tonight. I know I am right now. It's up to you to figure it out. Now, verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Here it is. Even as the wife loveth, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. Notice what the Bible says, men. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. And when my relationship with my mate is right, it is mirrored in the local body, the New Testament local church. And this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. And consequently, when my life is right with my church, as a reflection of being right with my mate, I don't have to expect my prayers to be hindered. I don't understand all about prayer. I don't understand why some things take me so many years. And while some things just take me just a short time and God answers it, I don't know why some things God doesn't, I don't understand all that. My wife was desiring a vehicle. And I just said to her, honey, I don't think we can get a vehicle right now. And I know it can't be new. And we prayed and we had been praying that God would give us the right vehicle. And I found a vehicle that was about 3 years old. It was back in December. I think it had 998 miles or something on it. And I was out visiting. And while I was out visiting on a Saturday, I saw this vehicle. And I just stopped. And the man said, Pastor, I witnessed to him. He said, I can get you a good deal. I said, I can't talk. I'm visiting. And then I go and I study today more and I pray and I have prayer meeting tonight. I can't do a deal today. He said, do this. Just take the car and drive it home, see if your wife likes it. I took it home, saw if she'd like it. She goes, boy, I like this car. I feel safe in this car. And I want her to feel safe in that car. And And so she goes, we'd been praying. I took it back to the man. I said, we like it, but I have no time to make a deal. He said, Pastor, look, and he began to say, here's what I'll do. And I think he was being very honest and sincere because I had really witnessed to him. And I think, though he didn't get saved, sort of claim salvation, I think somehow his heart was knit. Maybe I was just being ripped off by a salesman. Who knows? But I don't think so. He said, Pastor, I can do this. I can. He was the number two man there, the owner, and then himself. He said, I can drop the price for you to this. And you know we've all heard that. I said, that's wonderful, but I can't buy a car today. I have no time. My Saturday is consumed. I think it was about 1 o'clock. I said, I don't have time. And he said, well, then come by tomorrow. I said, oh, the Lord's day, I'd never buy a car. It's God's day. So I'm not coming tomorrow. And he called me later that night and said, I talked to the owner. He helps Baptist preachers. He was a Baptist or is a Baptist or what? He's an older man in his 80s. He wants to help you. I said, good. How much more? And he told me how much more. Things are looking up. He said, could you come? I said, I can't come tonight. Can you swing by tomorrow? I can't swing by tomorrow. He said, I'm going to just tell you something. This car will not be here Monday. I said, you know, if God wants my wife to have that car is going to be there on Monday. He goes, it won't be here on Monday. He called me Monday morning and he said, it's here. I said, I want to tell you something. I have no time to talk to you. I'm sorry. I'm packed in meetings all day. I can't come. He said, Pastor, you need to come. I said, I'm not coming. I'll call you this afternoon. I think most of you know that the lunch hours are a thing of the past. Right? I don't get to go anywhere for lunch. And sometimes my wife will bring me a salad or something to my desk. We're not supposed to eat behind our desk, but I break the rules, and I don't have time. And I said, you know, I'm going to take a lunch hour today, and I'm going to drive by this dealership over here, this Chevy dealership. And on the way, I'm going to say, and you won't believe it. They had, and her car is rather different, but they had the exact same car out front, same wheels, same year, same miles, same rims, same interior, just a little bit different color, same paint on the outside, same black windows, same. And that had it was the car of the day. And I called the guy. I says, guess what? I'm over here at such and such. And he said, I said, I can get this thing for $1,000 less. We literally had been praying. He said, Pastor, and he raised his voice at me, I refuse you to buy a car from that dealership. You cannot do it. I will not allow you to do it. They're crooks. They're going on and on and on and on and on. I said, they got a better price. He goes, not only will I match that, I'll come down more. Go to the owner right now. He said, get over here. I said, I don't have time right now. I have to come later. I called somebody that I know, mechanics, and not here, but I called a friend I know, and I said, now listen, I don't know how to fix a car nowadays with computers. And I said, it's got 19,000. I need a 4-year extended warranty. Is that a good thing to get? He goes, well, normally I don't, but he goes, I'd advise you to get it. I called the man back. He said, I'll put an extended warranty for $4,000 on that car. I said, I won't pay $4,000. He said, come see me. And it wasn't $3,000. It wasn't $2,000. It wasn't $1,500. He just kept bringing it down. And literally that afternoon, on Monday afternoon, about 4, I guess, I got there and I said, I have no time, but I need it for this price with that warranty. I knew God kept that car for us. And you know, in 35 minutes, credit check, signed the papers, I was out the door. I really believe God answered our prayer. Now, that's a little thing. Miss Treber and I have so many prayers that it doesn't seem like God's answered. But we can point, as we pray at night together, we can point to things that God did it. God did it. God did it with just a few minutes to spare. God did it with, God did it here. God did it there. God does it. God knows everything. With my life, my journey that's today and ahead till He comes again, more than ever, I want to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I want to have the New Testament word faith, which is the Old Testament trust. I'm going to trust God when I cannot see where His way is leading me. I'm going to trust God when I cannot hardly breathe. I'm going to trust God when my heart's broken. And there's more of that coming as we see the day approaching. I want to always trust God. And I want to say to you tonight, verse 32 is so powerful because this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Your marriage reflects your love for God. Your marriage reflects your love for the New Testament local church. So here's a person that is easily offended at the church. I guarantee it, they're easily offended in their marriage. Because the two go together. You can't be easily offended at church. I'm not easily offended at home. Yes, you are. They mirror one another. And you show me someone who is casual in their faithfulness to church, I'll show you someone that's casual in their faithfulness to their mate. You show me someone who's complaining about their church and complaining about their church, I'll show you someone that complains in their marriage. It's a mirror. Your church is reflected in your marriage. Your marriage is reflected in your church. You show me someone angry at the church, I'll show you someone that's angry in their marriage. I recall as a boy seeing a lady, and I'd call her name. She's home with the Lord. Her husband's home with the Lord. Some of her kids are home with the Lord. And she was always upset at the church. Always. Things aren't fair. There's favoritism. Things aren't right. And she was always mad at her kids and always mad at her husband. He's a big, strapping man, but she was always mad at him. Well, their marriage was reflected in the church. And everybody had to put up with it and say, well, that's just the way I am. I just speak my mind. Yeah, but that's what you do in your marriage. He's not a happy camper. Did you notice when you died, he didn't cry? Did you notice that? I call her name right now. Did you notice that? Someone who's worldly in church always wants to push the envelope. It's the same person in their marriage that always wants to push the envelope. Someone who's bitter in church. And if you've been saved any length of time, you see bitter people. And bitter people always reveal, I have a bitter marriage because I'm bitter at the church. People that are judgmental at church are judgmental in their marriage. People that are drama at church are drama in their marriage. Look at verse 26. That he may sanctify it. God says, I want the marriage and I want the church sanctified, cleansed with the washing of the water by the word. Why? That he may present it just like the bride presented, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, just like the bride is. Or any such thing that should be holy and without blemish. Oh, in this day, how we need holy churches. And we'll have holy churches if we could get some holy marriages. And you get a holy marriage when, sir, you esteem your wife better than yourself, and you honor your wife, and you dwell with your wife according to knowledge, and you study her and understand. And ladies, as you submit to that man and follow the leadership of that man, God says that's the way the church works. Because the two mirror, the two reflect. So if I want to move the heart of God, I must sanctify my mind, my heart, my marriage. I must sanctify it. I must set it apart. I must keep it cleansed. washed by the Word of God. Because I want to have a glorious marriage, but a glorious marriage is reflected in a glorious church. I want to have a church without spot or wrinkle, so I need to have a home without spot or wrinkle. I want to move God's heart. I've got so much I want to see God do. I want to move His heart. But if I'm going to move His heart, it starts the way I treat and respect and honor a lady called Cindy Treiber. And if I could be everything that she needs me to be. You know, a lady I respect so much is Anna. She was serving in the temple with her husband, and her husband died. In the next 84 years, there was no husband. But she mirrored a love for her husband toward what God was doing in humanity, sending the Lord Jesus Christ, who became, He is the foundation of the church. A right person in marriage will be reflected as a right church member. I've pastored so many people for years. I'm done. They have been such an easy joy to pastor. I'm not talking about they just, yes, sir, you're the boss. Yes, I'm not talking to that cult idea. It's just so pleasant to pastor. Just so sweet to pastor. Trust the Lord. Believe God. Walk with God in the sunshine, in the shadow, in the good times, in the hard times. It's just ready, steady, faithful, godly people. I've been so blessed. I get overwhelmed. I sometimes drive down the road just thinking about you, folks. I'm so overwhelmed. And then there's some, and I still love you, but there's some that have been very difficult to pastor. Everything is drama. Everything is not fair. Everything, there's favoritism. Everything, there's bitterness. Why would you live that way? Because that's how you're doing with your marriage. Well, I took a stab at it tonight. I hope you got it. I'm going to move the heart of God with a right relationship in marriage, that my prayers be not hindered. Father, help us tonight to swallow our pride and humble ourselves.